Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Bible study in the book of James. I'm in James chapter 2, and James is Jesus' half-brother, and he walked with Jesus, he knew Jesus, he grew up with Jesus, and now he knows Jesus as Lord, as it will reflect in chapter 2. So we'll go ahead and start reading now. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over there, or you sit at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Okay, there's a few things that I want to point out in these first six verses here. The first thing is, this is a directive. My brethren, do not. Now, there's a lot of people in the church, a lot of teaching that I noticed in among church folk, that they believe that we don't have to do anything, and that God does everything for us. And that's true. That is true. But we're cooperating with the Lord. So there are things that we can do, and there's things that we cannot do. Now, we're not going to base our salvation on our works, but if we do have faith, works will follow. And so we have this directive, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. And what James is talking about here is the family of God. We are the family of God. Anybody that's a believer is the body of Christ, the family of God, the church. Not a building, it's a body. Jesus is the head of that body, and we're members of that body. So we should all be treated equally, the same amount of respect for one another. And James goes on to say that, you know, here comes a rich man into the group. And basically the attention goes to the rich, you know, to the person that has health, has money, has looks, has all these things going for him. And when we do that, at the same time, we're neglecting, you know, the poor person, the person that doesn't have the finer things of life, that, you know, that his health might not be as good. James calls, written by the Spirit of God, James calls sin. It's a sin to do that. It says that when we pay attention to one person while neglecting another, that we are committing sin, that we've shown partiality, and that we are judging. We're judging one person as better than the other. And That's not Christianity, because we're all heirs of the kingdom of God. And God chooses the poor. He chooses the poor to bring into his kingdom. He chooses the weak to show his strength. He chooses the sick to show his providence. So God takes the poor and he shines. That's where the Lord shines. Verse 6, but you've dishonored the poor man. Do not the riches oppress you and drag you into the, do not the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Do not they blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? So some people are just loyal. They're loyal to money. They're loyal to personality. They're loyal to looks. You know, they will take you to court and sue you. It's all about that competitive edge. If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. For he commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Okay. I'm going to stop there because there's a lot going on in these few verses. And keep in mind that the Apostle Paul builds on the book of James. Well, the Apostle Paul had the book of James more than likely in his position, in his possession when he wrote his epistles. So he had time to meditate, time to pray, time to get revelation. The Lord gave him revelation on this. Now, verse 8 through 12, there's three laws that are mentioned. In verse 8, the royal law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law that Jesus gave us. And then there is Ten Commandments. The whole law. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Now, Jesus said if you fulfill the royal law, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do that. You fulfill all of the law. So here we have the royal law, the Ten Commandments, and then in verse 12 we have what is called the law of liberty. Now we're called into the law of liberty. Listen to what it says. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. In other words, we're not under law for salvation. For salvation means being set free from this wicked world. We still have directives in the New Testament, all through Paul's writings, that line up with the Ten Commandments and the royal law. That's okay. But we're called to live by the law of liberty. Okay, and here's what I'm trying to say. If we've been crucified, buried, and resurrected with Christ, and the Holy Spirit lives within us, we follow out the directive of the guiding of the Holy Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. When you produce the fruit of the Spirit, you fulfill the law. we're called into the law of liberty. In other words, we have the directive, our directives, but those directives are not the means by which are to operate. We operate by the law of liberty, and we follow the directives. Okay. So remember, three laws, the royal law, which is you shall love your neighbor as yourself, the Ten Commandments, which are the commandments that say do not commit adultery, do not murder, and then the law of liberty, which is our freedom through Christ. Okay, verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What we're talking about is the difference between an authentic claim at Christianity and a non-authentic claim. Those that are in Christ live in the Spirit and produce the fruit of the Spirit. The production of the fruit of the Spirit is how we know one another as Christians. If you believe that there is one God, you do well, and even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also. If you truly believe in Christ, if you're truly crucified, old is gone, buried in resurrection, the new has come, and you're absorbed in that truth, and you have belief and faith in the in God, works will follow. And they'll follow in a form of fruit of the Spirit, because we live in the law of liberty. We live in the law of liberty. We've been set free from through Christ so that we may produce works for Christ. And it's God that works in us to produce these works. See, we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of that body. Thank you for joining me today. And I look forward to James chapter 3. Till next time, this is Jay. God bless you.